Hi, I'm Dave Scott. Welcome to Living by the Words of God.
Isaiah 66:2. I have made all these things. That is why all these things have come into being, declares the Lord. I will pay attention to those who are humble and sorry for their sins and who tremble at my word.
This week we begin part two of our study, Pursuing the Opportunity, a biblical, practical model for an honest pursuit of God and His truth. Our approach will be somewhat different as our material changes toward a more practical emphasis. In the book, at the beginning of each chapter, I have an overview, which usually includes a highlighted resource for that week. I want to acquaint us with some of the resources available and to at least give a glimpse as to how they could be useful in your study. Some of the most basic tools can yield excellent results. One of those is a plain old dictionary of the English language. I want to say more about this and give an example, but first I want to give an overview of Lesson 1, and then Carrie has some things to share. Here's what we will highlight today. Lesson 1, Examining a Biblical Approach to the Words of God. 1.1, Highlighted Resource, a Dictionary of the English Language. 1.2, Introduction to an Inductive Method of Bible Study. 1.3, Three Major Problems with Bible Study. 1.4, Jumping to Conclusions. We are going to get back to the usefulness of an English dictionary, but first, Carrie.
Hi, I have some familiar but hopefully helpful information for you. This week, we begin part two, Pursuing the Opportunity, a biblical, practical model for an honest pursuit of God and His truth. Lesson one is examining a biblical approach to the words of God. For information concerning the study or to provide valuable feedback, you may contact us online at livingbythewordsofgod.com or by telephone at 466-9503 locally, Terre Haute, or toll-free at 1-888-419-4418. You may order the study book on the web, by phone, or purchase it locally at the Open Door Christian Bookstore. Remember, you may view the book for free on the website. Each radio program is archived online for access anytime. Just click the Radio Highlights link or the Dave Radio Study button, and you will be linked to the correct page. We also invite you to listen to our daily highlights on Word Power Family Radio, Monday through Friday mornings at 7:04. Now, Dave will continue.
1.1, Highlighted Resource, an English Dictionary. To understand our Bibles, we need to understand the words. God chose the words, so understanding word meaning is essential to understanding God's message. English dictionaries give us clear, accurate definitions of the words in our Bibles. When you do not know the meaning of a word, stop and look it up. If this is not already your habit, you will be pleasantly surprised with the insights gained from simply looking up the meaning of a word. Many people undervalue this excellent tool. Some are more interested in Greek and Hebrew meanings of words before they understand what is written in the Bibles they actually use. This is a mistake. Excellent scholars work countless hours choosing precisely the best words for our English translations. I would like to use Ephesians 4:26 New American Standard in my examples throughout our study today. Be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. First, I will refer to it in relation to my use of an English dictionary. The first time I taught through Ephesians was in an inner-city church in Chicago in a Sunday school class. I had a choice: deal with this anger verse head-on, or let it get lost in the details of the chapter. One of the things that greatly helped me in my understanding of anger is this definition from Webster's. Anger, a strong feeling of displeasure and, usually, of antagonism. Later on, we will look at the wrong use of this verse, but for now, what we see is anger as strong displeasure with something. To be strongly displeased is not inherently sinful. So, although most of the time our anger may be sinful, it does not have to be, and this definition helped me to see that. So please, explore the benefit of this valuable tool. Next, Introduction to an Inductive Method of Bible Study. An inductive method of study could be described as a discovery method. As a detective gathers evidence, so the person using the inductive method gathers his evidence from the text and lets the evidence speak to the truth of the matter. Inductive Bible study is made up of three interwoven and inseparable units: observation, Interpretation and application. Observation. What does it say? Interpretation. What does it mean? Application. How do I live this truth? We observe, we interpret, we apply, and then we go back to the drawing board with even more observations after we have taken our truth out for a field trial. We can't capture it and confine it to concept and theory and expect to fully understand it, because doing so prevents it from living in our hearts. We also can't expect to mature in our ability to distinguish good from evil, right from wrong, righteousness from wickedness without going to the playing field. Contrary to Scripture, some believe that study and more study can provide their answers. But Scripture teaches us that we learn to distinguish between good and evil through constant use, not through constant study of the words of God.
But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Hebrews 5:14.
The inductive method of study provides a framework for us to approach God's Word in a way that honors the Master's design. Yes, God has a design and purpose not only in the words themselves, but also in how we approach the words.
Isaiah 66:5. Hear the word of the Lord, you who tremble at His word. Jeremiah 15:16. Your words were found, and I devoured them. Your words are my joy and my heart's delight, because I am called by your name, O Lord God of armies. Psalm 119:147. I rise before the dawning of the morning and cry for help. I hope in your word.
So I ask myself, do I tremble at His word? Am I starved for what God would say? Do I hope in His word and reverence God? So, we read and observe the words of God. To the best of our ability, we find God's intended meaning in His words. We take our newfound truth out of the box and into our lives, and God renews and transforms. Observation is an essential first step to any productive Bible study. Maybe our first three rules could be observe, observe, observe. What does it say? What does it say? What does it say? Back to Ephesians 4:26. Be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Our observation is that we are commanded to be angry. This is what I struggled with in the Sunday school class I referred to. By default, we think anger, sin. Good Christians don't get angry. They get even. No, only joking. But how was I going to handle this? Well, God clearly commanded, be angry, so I decided to find out why. Put these thoughts on hold, and I will continue examining this verse as we step to our next major section, which is three major problems with Bible study. Not doing it, beginning and ending with interpretation, approaching Bible study as if Bible study were the goal. At this moment, I would like to highlight beginning and ending with interpretation. You see, I was struggling with the generalization that we are to avoid anger because anger means sin. So I overlaid my observation of what God said with my interpretation of spirituality. I was not alone in this. If you listen closely to comments on this verse, you will hear people override the be angry part with the do not sin qualifier. In doing this, we take the bite out of a truth that is essential for growth within the body of Christ. I don't have time to discuss the entire issue here, but if you observe the context, you will see why Paul called for them to be angry. The crucial part is that the Ephesian believers were not speaking the truth in love, Ephesians 4:15. In fact, they were struggling with speaking the truth at all. They were letting so much go that Paul told them in 4:25 to put away lying and speak the truth. Speaking the truth was vital to their spiritual growth, 4:15. Paul knew that in speaking the truth, they would become angry, strongly displeased, but they could not allow that to stop the growth process. So he gave them the okay to be strongly displeased, but not to sin. Speaking the truth to each other is that essential for our growth in Christ. Too many times in our churches, our emphasis is to be friendly and nice no matter what. But immaturity reigns because this is not a biblical pattern for relationships. We are not called to be the friendliest church in town. We are called to lay down our lives for each other, and that love goes way past friendly and nice. Here in our text, be angry, yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And continues in 4:27 with, Do not give the devil an opportunity. Back to the flow of our study, three major problems with Bible study. Not doing it. For many people, this is the main problem. They simply do not care. They do not want more in their walk with God until they are confronted with the crisis. When life is good, they either do not want to hear what God has to say, or they do not think God has anything more to say to them. But some people, many, I think and hope, do care. They only need to develop a few skills and taste the amazing words of God, and they are off and running. Those are the ones I believe this study will benefit the most. Beginning and ending with interpretation. When we begin and end with interpretation, opinion rules the day and ruins the exploration. We must know what a text says before we can know what it means, and we must know what it means before we can know how to apply the teaching to our lives. Regardless of this, many studies begin and end the discussion with, "What does this mean to you?" Approaching Bible study as if Bible study were the goal. If Bible study is our goal, then what have we actually accomplished when we reach our goal? We found truth and admired it, discussed it, raved about it. So what? We should be studying the Bible to learn and understand the words of God so that we can live by the words of God. If we are not living by the words of God, then we are not living as God defines or explains living. We should ask ourselves why. Why am I studying the Bible? God will give us points on our spiritual horizons, the right and righteous thing to do, to move toward, such as speak truth to each other, be angry yet do not sin. Clear scriptural direction. So we set the coordinates and let God teach us what it means. Succeeding and failing, but we don't change the coordinates with a convenient interpretation. The point I am trying to make is that we need reference points based on the clear, intended meaning of God's words, or we may spend a lifetime moving toward the wrong goals. So we must know what God is saying and what He means by what He says before we know what to do. Another caution, whatever your reference point is, whatever your vision for life is, the longer you move toward that point on the horizon, the more invested you become, the harder the decision to change. Chuck Swindoll gives an example of a pastor who, after many years in a legalistic environment, was introduced to the grace of God. Now, the many years in his church, his friendships, and his relationships with peers were all at risk if he allowed God to recalibrate his heavenly coordinates. As I recall, the man made the right decision and paid dearly for it. But better to change after 20 years with my ladder against the wrong wall than to never reposition my ladder at all. Any time before eternity is a good time to get on track with God. Just picture yourself standing before Christ. You are totally amazed with the reality of heaven and the magnificence of Christ. And now you explain to Him how you didn't follow His teaching because you would have lost your standing in the church you had been a member of for 35 years. Go ahead. Plug that or any scenario into this heavenly multimedia perspective finder and see how it plays. And see how it plays before God in eternity. Yeah, that's what I thought.
Remember, you may contact us at 466-9503, locally Terre Haute, or toll-free at 1-888-419-4418. Our web address is livingbythewordsofgod.com.
Thanks again for listening. Dave and Carrie Scott, livingbythewordsofgod.com.
Not by bread alone, not a new car or a home, they won't feed my soul. Cleanse and make me whole. No, I'm living by the words, the living words of God, food for my soul. Better than silver or gold. Yes, I'm living by the words, the living words of God, food for my soul. Better than silver or gold.